Well, I'll just explain why we're here. Jim, you don't have to start the machine now. This is gone. Might as well wait a minute. I'm coming up and sitting at this chair and speaking into this microphone. That's so that what you say can be taken down. That would make it easier for us. And I'd like to hear what you've got to say. The other person traveling with me is Joyce Johnson, sitting back here, who helped to organize this meeting today, and she works for our commission. So we're open for business, and we're here all afternoon to listen to what you have to say about ANCSA and how you feel about it. You were telling me, ma'am, before the meeting about a concern you had. If you want to talk about it, feel free to come up and mention it. Sure. Could you give us your name to start with for the record?
Mary Jane Merkulet. Well, my fourth-born son, Terenti, when he was stationed in the army in Germany, he was serving his country in 1971. they were collecting names, my children's names, for the corporation. I gave his APO address, I don't know if it's APO, New York address, so he can get papers to join the corporation. The mail service was bad then, so I assumed he received the papers. I didn't have any way of knowing if he received it or not. He was in Germany with his wife and children. His second child was born in Germany. His wife stayed there for 2 years and came back. Turinti, my son, was not in the corporation, so she had to let him join her corporation. He appealed two or three times to join this corporation, to change corporations, because he wanted to return home. But he was refused. Then this money came up, the corned beef money they called. I appealed to the community. I appealed to the five members that took care of the paper. They refused him the share of money. He suffered as much as we did growing up here because he was not in the corporation. He had no way of joining the corporation. He never received any papers. He didn't get the share of the corned beef money, that's what we call it.
Tell me what the corned beef money is.
I forget. That's what I guess the government was sued for all those years. They didn't treat us right.
Oh, I see.
Well, we used to get two cans of corned beef. Every family used to get two cans of corned beef every week as a meat. That was the only share of meat we had from the government. I guess that's why the government was sued for those years of, I forget that it has a number, docket number, I forget what it is.
But your son was never enrolled in the Tanac Corporation here.
No, he had no way of enrolling because he never received any papers.
Yeah.
He said I used to, whenever the boat come up, maybe two, three times a year, I used to write a letter to him. See, I assumed he had already gotten the papers,
mm-hmm.
and He didn't. When his wife came back from Germany after 2 years, that's when she enrolled him.
Well, that's a complaint that a lot of people have made all over Alaska, is that when they were away serving their country, many of them didn't get enrolled. Some of them got enrolled in the wrong corporation, some of them didn't get enrolled at all. So we've heard quite a lot about that kind of case, just like your own son's case.
Isn't that wrong? You serve your country and you get turned back from your own people?
Well, the way you put it, you make a pretty strong case. Well, I certainly intend to make a recommendation about the cases where people were not enrolled because they were away serving their country. Maybe I could ask you a question. How do you feel, Mrs. Merkulov, about 1991, about the question of selling your shares? And do you think you should have the right to sell your shares, or do you think the right to sell shares should be restricted, or do you have any comment on that?
Well, I think it should be restricted. I'd rather this be a Aleut community as it always is. I wouldn't want to sell my shares.
I see. Any views about the children born since 1971 who are not entitled to be enrolled as shareholders? Your son was old enough if he'd been here to enroll, but everybody born since that time has no right to be enrolled unless their parents die and leave them their shares. Any views about what should be done about that?
Well, I should think that all children born here at St. George should have a share in the corporation so they can be all members, because they said we're the Aleut community of St. George. I think our children should all have a share in there, make it more unity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Won't these children feel like they're left out? I should think we should all belong together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anything else you'd like to bring up?
No, I don't know.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome Venerable Thomas Berger, the staff of the Alaska Native Review Commission, which is Jim Sykes and Joyce Johnson, and staff of the Aleut Corporation, Julie Henderson and Alan Axel, to the beautiful St. George. I'm not biased, of course. I am Ilyudor Filimonov, president of the St. George Tsanaw Village Corporation. I think I would like to give a little history on the islands, the history of the Pribilofs, as well as the overall history of the Aleut people, and I think this would be something that could be helpful to the children coming up today to know a little bit about their history. And I don't know how much of that is being taught in the school, how much of the language is being taught in the school. I think the Pribilof Islands do indeed have a very unique history, perhaps in all of the villages in the state of Alaska. For 197 years, the Aleut people of the Pribilofs had no complete freedom. It was not until last year, October 28, 1983, did we actually gain our freedom to choose our destiny and to conduct our lifestyle in a manner without being hindered by the United States government, or even for the state government for that matter. From 1786, when the Russians discovered, and this is in quotes, the island of St. George, it was unpopulated. However, the Aleuts along the chain knew the existence of the Pribilof Islands, primarily because of the migration of the fur seals and even the birds themselves. The Aleut people of the Pribilofs were transplanted or relocated from the Unalaska district, Nikalski, Atka, and Attu. The Aleut people as a whole, since 1741, when Vitus Bering discovered the Aleutian Islands, their rights, their freedom, peace, and harmony was disrupted. Their ancestral culture and heritage began eroding quickly with the advent of the unknown diseases that the Aleut people were not immune to. There were wars, they were being slaughtered, put out or sent out to the sea to hunt for the fur-bearing animals, especially the sea otter and seals. And many of them never returned. The villages were plundered, raped, and from the figures that were given, there were approximately 16 to 20,000 Aleuts in 1741. But now, today, I believe we have along the Aleutian chain and the Pribilofs, there's 3,500 Aleuts today. The reason the Pribilofs are unique, but number one, is because this is where the fur seals come for the summer months and to give birth to their pups and live here and stay here till about November, December. And this is why we were transplanted to this island, only because of the fur seals. I think I could go on further. I would like to speak more on the history of the Aleut people. But I just a little background to see that the uniqueness of the Pribilof Islands, because this, there is no other place that I know of that's been under complete domination as it has been in probably even any place of the United States. And to think from 1867, when Alaska was purchased, we were still under the domination of the United States government. And Mary Jane can tell you all this, along with Nikolai S. and those who have been around longer than I have. But I would like to address some of the issues which a majority of all the villages throughout the state of Alaska as it relates to ANCSA. We too have grave concerns in terms of what is now known as the 1991 issues. And among those issues, and I think the priority issue is a land issue, stock issues, taxation, and even shares to the children that are born after 1971. We all know that these issues are complex. Anything that you compromise on, like the claims, the Settlement Act itself was a compromise between the Alaska Natives and the United States Congress. And all really what this was a real estate transaction that took place. There's 40 million acres of land and approximately $1 billion. And that we did own all of Alaska at one time, but all we own now is 40 million acres. That's a very small percentage of the number of acreage that is within the state of Alaska. We know these issues are complex in nature, and even Congress, in writing up this act, didn't really understand the ramifications of this act itself. And there are no easy answers, and I don't think really no one today could give us any answers as to how we can solve these problems, as Commissioner Berger mentioned. And we must totally protect our lands for our future generation to come. And among those, the resolutions that was brought up before the AFN, or the Alaska Federation of Natives, one of them was the stock alienation. It was up until December 18, 1991, Native corporation stock cannot be sold, mortgaged, or otherwise alienated. And we believe there has to be restrictions on the stock as to how it can be sold, and I believe that it should be all under Native control. All the villages are working towards that end. And the second is the property tax exemption on land. The enrollment deadline, and I think in order to protect those who were born after 1971, I believe the deadline for that should be 1991. Those who were born after 71 should have a share in this. And the under the estate taxes, until January 1, 1992, corporation stock is not to be included in the gross estate of the deceased shareholder for purposes of taxation. And that's something that has to be worked out. Many of these things need much thought, and AFN was not even able to agree on any of these, the resolutions. They were so general, and they had to be something as much as complex as this has to be very specific, and all Native corporations are looking and working diligently to 1991, because this is our future. And we're always thinking of our children, our future generations to come. Another one thing that was brought up was the corporate law exemption. And we should continue that for this, that we continue to be exempted. And Commissioner Berger also spoke about the Alaska Land Bank. People have talked about IRAs. And in reality, St. George is not an IRA community. We have piggybacked on the IRA of St. Paul. In fact, within our region, I think there are only two communities that were formed or under the charter, IRA charter of 34 and amended in 36. And he also talked about the non-profit corporations. And I think, you know, for us as a small village corporation, we have 224 shareholders. It's rather small. We have received, or will receive, or we're entitled to 115,000 acres of land. And on the island of St. George, there's only 21,000 acres. And of that, federal government owns part of it. That's the First Seal Rookeries. We have sold 3,600 acres to the Fish and Wildlife Service. And under the 14C conveyances, we have conveyed some lands to the city and to the other appropriate entities, which Brett Coburn, our land manager, has worked on. And we as a board have tried to sustain the corporation. Perhaps like any other village corporation, we've made some mistakes, but we've learned by their mistakes. And I think the board of directors right now they have been serious, but they're more on the serious matters that we have to work out. And it's no easy matter being president of the corporation and for the board to make some of these decisions that are going to affect our future generations to come. Sometimes it's frightening to think what you're doing. Are you doing the right thing now? In our minds, to our best judgment, we feel we are doing the right thing, and only with God's guidance we shall make those right decisions. The corporation has gone into few enterprises. We have the store, we have worked on the tourism, some joint ventures, the hotel. And to create jobs on this island, meaningful jobs. And we do have some Tanakh employees here on the island. There's five of us working out of the Anchorage office. And all necessary staff that we don't have any so-called deadheads there. There we are all, everybody has their function. And Anthony Merkulyev has done a good job for us here, keeping things in order. And we see a brighter future for the Tanakh Corporation. And we do have problems, so I'll be the first to admit that. But we're trying to solve it. And there's always that problem that we'll continue to have. We have to treat all the shareholders the same, whether they live on the island or outside of the island. We cannot give any preference to any shareholders, as we can be liable for the actions that we take. So we're always walking a very narrow line. And I went out this morning after I came in with Anthony and looked at the site where they're quarrying the rock for the boat harbor. And the Tanakh Corporation actually was the instrument for acquiring the monies and pursued the boat harbor, because we know this is the sea itself is the only natural resource that we have in the Pribilof Islands. And we must exploit it, and exploit it correctly, usefully, and not to abuse it, such as what happened to the king crab. And we all know that the native people are very resourceful people. And this brings me to the subject of subsistence. The people, our ancestors, have always depended of all the animals, sea animals and the birds, for subsistence, and the fur seals. And we still continue to rely on the subsistence for the fur seals. I doubt if we'll ever see the day that there'll be commercial harvesting of the fur seals, but we will always fight for that end, that the subsistence, the fur seal subsistence, continue. And we've done it in the past, and we'll do it till the end. The people do continue to use the halibut, cod, and other seabirds and the other birds for subsistence. And we don't want to lose this right of subsistence. And a little while ago I talked about the bird cliffs. And under the terms and conditions, under the Pribilof terms and conditions, we still can use the bird cliffs areas for subsistence. And we made sure that was in the agreement itself. I think I've touched up on some of the important matters, and if Commissioner Berger would like to comment on some of the issues that I brought up. Not that they're any different than what you've heard before, it's just a reiteration of what...
Well, there are... Alaska's a big place, and there are many variations, but just about everywhere I've been, people are concerned about the land. They would rather keep the land than sell their shares. You didn't specifically deal with that, but I take it that's your view as well.
Yes, exactly. And this is, we would like to keep our lands. And, you know, I said about the 21,000 acres that we have here. And we've got on Hamnak Island and Unalaska Island. We definitely want to keep every square foot, if possible, of that land. We don't want to lose that land, because that's the whole, our basis, our life, our lifestyle.
You said that there really wasn't an IRA here in St. George, that you'd piggybacked on the St. Paul IRA. Could you explain that? I didn't quite follow that.
Well, we were never chartered under the IRA. St. George never did apply for that.
Well, somebody said that's the IRA office right back
well,
here.
Let's consider that, but that's the actually community council office.
I see. You mean the city council?
No, community.
Community council.
So I think there are problems that there was some discussion about if the United States government would issue any more IRA governments.
Yeah.
So that's another issue with that we have to deal with.
But you never did apply here?
No, not as far as I know. I may be wrong, and not as, but I've only heard there are two within the Aleut region.
St. Paul and Acutan, we're told, yeah. I heard earlier in the day from some of the folks who work for Tanna Corporation that it's trying to get a tourist business going here in the summer and had its first tourists out here for 3 or 4 days each last summer, and they stayed at the hotel and were taken on tours of the bird cliffs and the seal rookeries. Is it's planned that that should be ongoing? That's one of the projects.
Oh, yes. In fact, we believe it'll grow. Brett Coburn has done a good job on that. I think we've had, 60, 80 this year? What is it, 60? Actually, this is only our second year. We just had one group last year, and this year we've had, 5, 6? And we're hoping that next year it'll double to about 120. And of course, we've got to contend with larger hotel accommodations. As you know, this is a small hotel, and we'd have to build a larger one.
You said there the only resources that there are on the Pribilofs, the only resource is the sea. On the island itself, is there any game on St. George Island?
No. Only foxes are the Pribilof dogs, yes. And, yeah, there are what, about 30 heads of reindeer, which were transplanted in 1980.
Oh, I see. But you're not taking any reindeer.
No.
You're waiting for that herd to grow.
In fact, we'd like to bring more, if possible.
The people here in the past is it possible to, in a general way, to indicate to what extent they've been dependent on subsistence and to what extent they've been dependent on wage and salaried employment, whether full-time or part-time.
Are you talking about the current trend? Or?
Yeah, the current trend.
It's the people still do go out for subsistence hunting such as the kittiwakes in the spring. And you have the sea lions. Then, of course, in the summer months, the seals. And winter months, sometimes the seabirds, seawater birds. But most, but they don't, from the past, from the time that I grew was growing up here, you know, we had more of the seabirds and didn't even have turkey for Thanksgiving, so that was our turkey.
Yeah.
It's really hard to put a percentage of how much of the is being used for subsistence, but subsistence will always be part of our lifestyle, such as for the berries, like you ate today at the hotel. That's still part of our subsistence way.
How do you think the folks in this village feel about 1991, about selling their shares? Do you get any indication? I'm going to ask some more to indicate how they feel, but as president of the corporation, have you talked to them about this? Any idea how they feel?
No, we really haven't gone into that, and it's such a complicated issue that from now on that we would like to work within from our newsletter and Brett Coburn being the land managers to keep them up to date as much as we possibly can. And we've never really dealt too much with 1991 and when I was just around the corner, so, and to work with the Yali Corporation, I understand you have a new person. Yeah, Vince Turikov. So we'd like to get more involved with them and inform the people, because the people are really not informed of 1991 as much as they should be. And that's partly due to fault of our corporation, the Elliott Corporation. So, you know, that we hope to rectify.
Right. Well, thanks very much. Mr. Mercurio, anything you'd like to add?
I'm Anthony Mercurio, Chairman of the Board of St. George Tanah Corporation. One thing I wanted to say about the land and the 1991 issue is that I would hate to see it get out of the hands of the native people, because they don't understand the value that we place on our land. We have a lot of respect and a lot of love for the land that we have here, what little land that we have. And I would hate to see people buy shares in this corporation and start to control the land that they have no identity with. It'd be a shame, I think, if that happened. As far as 1971 and people born after that, I would like to see them get shares in this corporation for the continuation of the corporations, because I think that if that didn't happen, that this corporation and the people, especially on this island, that it would become diluted. And there again, they would not identify as closely with St. George as I think is necessary. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, the some of the AFN proposals that Mr. Eliador referred to. One of them is a proposal that the corporation should be able to make an offer to its shareholders to buy their shares between now and 1991. Do you have any, you live right here in town, so if you're, you might be able to answer this. Do you have any shareholders who are saying, look, I want my money, I want to sell my shares, why can't you buy them from me, that is the corporation, buy them from me? Do you have any pressure like that, or are people more or less content about that?
Well, that's a pretty big question.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you know, that's true with any community in the state of Alaska. And I'm sure that there are some people who would you know, like to get some money from the corporation, and there's that pressure. There's always that pressure. But I don't think it's necessarily to buy out their shares. And I can't speak for everybody.
Well, that's a concern of mine, because if you provided that people could, that the corporation could make an offer to its own shareholders to buy their shares, the idea is apparently to allow those people who really want to get out, get their money and get out, to allow them to do that. But if the corporation can make an offer to its own shareholders to buy their shares before 1991, then it might be able to obtain those shares for a lot less than they might be worth. But the really difficult question, it seems to me, is this. You'd wind up with some people in a village who would be shareholders and others who were not. Now, right now you have some who are and some who are not, but it's an age thing. You know, kids under 13 don't and overdo. But if half the village sold out and half the people kept their shares, then you'd have a much different kind of division within the village, it seems to me. And I've mentioned this ever since the AFN resolutions came out, and I've had a public roundtable we had in Anchorage last month. I raised this with Charlie Johnson, the president of AFN. So I hope you will think about that, because as you know, maybe you don't know, but I come from Canada, where we in the last century, we allowed some native people to sell what's called scrip, entitled them to land. And when they sold the scrip, then they weren't entitled to any of the rights and privileges of being a native person. And those people have spent 100 years trying to get their rights as native people restored, and all because their forefathers sold a piece of paper 100 years ago. And just looking at this, I can see the writing on the wall here in Alaska. That is, if you have villages where some people have sold, I'm not talking about selling to outsiders, but if you have a provision that says you can sell to your own corporation, and you could have a village where half the people have sold, half have stayed in, and the half that have stayed in then control the corporation, and the others are outside there. This is a difficult problem, and I'm not trying to make it more difficult, but there's still a few years to think about it, and so forgive me for raising that, but I'm concerned about that.
That's a good point. I think that, you know, we should always be aware that, you know, and not be selfish about ourselves and try to do things for today, but be looking far enough in the future so that people can make a determination on what they think is right in their time.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Mr. McCullough. the folks here who might have been expected to go to St. Paul for the meeting wouldn't have to go, and we could just meet here this afternoon. So I'm glad you came, and grateful to those who've spoken. Would any of you folks like to say something? No, I was kind of looking behind you, sorry. Maybe, Joyce, you could take the microphone around just so folks don't have to bother coming up here.
I wouldn't want to lose my shirt either. And for my grandkids, I want them to get the shirt to the kids that are born after 71. Oh, this first time I ever. I don't know much about 1991, but I see it on TV. That's about all convention anchors. Well, I think we have to hold to the land and the subsistent activities and all that. Was natives on the island. That's about all, unless you have questions.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Next question.
How you feel about ANSA, the land, 1991? Kids, do you have kids born after 1971?
No, I have only one boy, born in 70. I don't understand enough about the land issue in 1991.
Thanks. And your name?
Agafango Makulia.
Peter Olakanoff. And, I don't know, it's kind of like difficult to think about. Right now, I don't have any, anything to put out, but I've got a little girl that I'm kind of like worried about, and sometimes I wonder, if I can get her enrolled in a corporation or not. And, well, having to sell the shares, I don't think I would. I would hang on to my own shares, and if I was to sell them, I would go ahead and sell them to the corporation and keep.
Was your daughter born after?
After, she was born last year, yes.
And you would like her to be included with.
Yeah, but see, her mother belonged to another corporation, St. Paul's, and I'm the St. George Corporation.
But you both belong to the Allied Corporation.
Right, yeah.
But your daughter is.
No, she doesn't.
Maybe I'll let them comment up there. Okay, you could comment.
Is that thing works?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard no voice from that side.
No, it's for recording, so
Well, I'm Zaina Sahar from St. Paul Island. Moved to St. George 1967. So I'm St. Paul Island Corporation. It's been 17 years in St. George. So I like it up here. Really nice place. Everybody I know them all, like Before I didn't know anybody. But now I know them all. So I got my kids with me and my grandchild, so we live in the one house, but no husband, but support my grandchild. That's good. Nothing else to say.
But are your kids or yourself enrolled in a corporation?
Yeah, St. Paul. St. Paul Olive Corporation.
Are you happy with the way St. Paul's?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't matter which way we go, as long as we visit meetings and listen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ma'am.
I just wondered, Ed said that you, Mrs. Rakulov, might have something to add about the history of the Aleut people. I just wondered if you wanted to add anything to what he had said.
Iliador was saying the people, the subsistence of the meat, you know, during the summertime, are older grandparents, or my dad and everybody used to salt up the meat for the winter time, so everybody would have something to eat because they had no any other choice to get any kind of other meat. Even the birds were salted. The bird eggs were kept in a salt to be, you know, preserved for all winter. That's why the Pribilof people have high blood pressure from all the salt.
You were telling me before the meeting that back in the 60s there used to be just you didn't have nearly the same contact with the mainland that you do now.
The only time that we had contact with outside world was when the boat come up couple times a year or three times a year. I had three sons in the service. They never used to get any letter from home. They said they used to go every time all the other people, you know, the Army, Navy, they get their mail. None of my boys used to get anything. When I send them some Christmas presents, they said by the time they get it, they were all crushed and molded. I had one son in Germany, one in Vietnam in the 70s, you know, and one at Mediterranean. And there was no way for them
it's
to hear from
home.
A long
way for those presents to go away.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. Does anyone else want to add anything? Mm-hmm. Sure. Pardon me? Yeah, go ahead, please.
Well, Judge Berger, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Brett Coburn. I'm the land manager for the St. George Tanakh Corporation, and I've been working with the folks up here for almost 2 years now. There's lots of things that I talk about. I think I'll just limit it to say three topics. To begin with, to say that our corporation is fortunate in one respect, and that's that we've been able to get our land surveyed just on St. George Island. The Tanakh Corporation is entitled to 115,000 acres of land, which we've been conveyed in interim conveyance, 106,000 approximately. On St. George Island, because of the withdrawal of the federal government back in October of 1983, we were able to get the cadastral survey, which is a division of the Bureau of Land Management, out to St. George Island to survey the lands. We've also been able to get most of the 14C conveyances. We've got that fairly well under control. We know what's going on. We've given out quitclaim deeds already to a number of people, to the St. George Community Council, to the City of St. George, and we're working with DOT, Department of Transportation, Public Facilities of the State of Alaska, to take care of our airport lands. Now, I think that we're fortunate to have our land surveyed so that we know what we own out here. But a lot of other village corporations aren't in this same position. It's been 13 years since the passage of ANCSA, and we will be one of the first corporations to have our 14C reconveyances taken care of. And we'll actually know what land we're working with. Whereas a lot of other people, they're dealing with interim conveyances. They don't know what land boundaries they're working with. We have problems right now. We have economic development going on St. George Island, and as a land manager, it's very difficult with having plats filed and approved by BLM showing where their boundaries are to know how to control development, which is a very key issue that's confronting us right now. Now, this is happening all over Alaska, not just on St. George Island. And one of the reasons why everybody's lands aren't surveyed, and they don't know exactly, they know vaguely what their lands are, they don't know exactly, is because Congress won't appropriate monies to allow cadastral survey to get their work done in Alaska. They have a tremendous workload, and they're completely understaffed. And one of the recommendations that I think would be very important that you address in your report is that the lands in Alaska be surveyed and the title is passed to Native recipients. I guess out here on St. George, just what we're finding is that we don't want to see land developed in a way that we don't want it developed. And without knowing exactly what everybody owns, it's difficult to control that. So I guess that's the one major point that I wanted to express about surveying lands. It seems that the key would be to have outside firms subcontracted by BLM if the money could be made available. Just from watching how private enterprise can come in and take care of problems, it seems like it would be much more efficient if money could be made available to bring in private companies to work under the direction of BLM. As it sits right now, there's just a small staff and thousands of acres to survey.
Any idea how long it would take if there's no increase in staff?
I think that they've mentioned to me it'd be way past the year 2000. Right now, we've given out deeds, quitclaim deeds, which are subject to receipt of an amended quitclaim deed after filing approval of the plats of survey by the Bureau of Land Management. And within the village of St. George, there have been, well, a couple of people who have received deeds have died in this interim period between giving them a deed to their land and the time when we're going to give them a new deed. And I'm going to have to go back through all the probate courts. I'm going to have to go back through proceedings to try to figure out who to give the other deeds to, how to split up. And what this amounts to is it costs us tremendous amounts of corporate time. This is just a small example, but lots of time to figure out who I'm going to give the new deeds to. We have to consult our attorneys, so attorneys make a bunch more money. Between the federal government, the state government, and our attorneys, we spend more corporate time answering questions of these people than we can concentrating on making money for the corporation, which in turn we can give back in dividends to the shareholders. I really believe we spend more time dealing with bureaucrats and attorneys than we do concentrating on our businesses at hand, which, as you know, we've got a fish processing plant, a tourism program that's developing. We run the store here in town. And if we could concentrate more of our effort on taking care of the things at hand than on dealing with the government and our attorneys, then we could do a lot better job at having a profitable corporation that would be able to bring back returns to the shareholders. So, this another topic that I wanted to speak about today was the situation after 1991, or I guess it's 20 years after the receipt of interim conveyance, corporate lands will be taxed, or will be subject to tax. And throughout Alaska, most of the village corporations, I believe this is the case, they're land rich and cash poor. Although they were given entitlements of money, I think a lot of that has probably been spent in dealing with the federal bureaucracy and attorneys. And if our lands are subject to taxation, and if there's a chance of losing these lands because of taxation, I think that would circumvent the whole idea behind the passage of ANCSA. I know that there are other, I know there's the Alaska Land Bank. I've heard of proposals of using conservation easements to guard against loss of land, but I would just hope that after 1991, that undeveloped land, I would like to just see Congress make it exempt from real property taxation. I can see where it would be fair for us to pay taxes on land that is developed, because we are getting some return off of that land, supposedly. But yeah, I guess something else that our accountant had mentioned to us is that, I know, the situation we're faced with right now is our company has, we've got a full-time CPA in working with us now who has just come on board the last couple of months. We've always had bookkeepers, but it's quite a chore just to set up an accounting system to take care of all of the business activities that our corporation deals with. And after 1991, it seems as if we might be subject to the requirements of the Securities Exchange Act of 33 and 34, which will mean more time we have to spend dealing with federal bureaucrats, more paperwork that's to be done. And as it is, we have a hard enough time just taking care of bookkeeping functions. And we'd hate to have an accountant that we would like to use to assess investments, to look at whether we're making any economic sense in the investments we're making. We'd rather use his time doing that than filling out reports, would be the end analysis of it. So in your final report, I would hope that you would recommend that somehow to get around this, somehow that we won't have to fulfill these requirements. And so, like I say, it's tough enough to run the business without dealing with more bureaucrats. So I guess that's about all I wanted to speak about right now. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. No?
Just, I'm in many places I've been, the village corporations are not only not doing well, they're not even doing badly, they're not even functioning. And I went to one village and asked, well, what do you do? And they said, well, we get an audit, we have an audit done every year. And I said, but what do you do? What business are you in? And they said, well, we actually don't do anything. We just have an audit every year, and we'll soon have to start selling assets to get an audit done. Well, I only mention that because it seems to me that the corporation here has more in the way of ongoing business activity than most village corporations of this size. So I wondered if you could just tell me, I should have asked Mr. Rakuliev, but maybe you could tell me, when the fish processing plant is going, how many people are employed there?
I have to ask Anthony, I think 15, is that about 20?
20.
About 20. Well, I guess the reason why there's been a real push is because of the federal withdrawal. The federal government had an economy set up. People could draw a wage. Not to say that they were that happy with it, but they could make money to feed their families. The federal government pulling out, well, that took a large amount of cash infusion into the economy here with it. And so I know the board of directors of the Tanakh Corporation have worked long and hard to try to figure out how to create jobs for people up here on St. George Island. And as a result, well, we've put a lot of money into building a fish processing plant. And we spent, well, I was hired to help develop the tourism program, which we've got running. It's, like I said, it's real small still, but we're making progress, and we're tied into the companies down in the lower 48 that will be able to bring people, that will help market the program to bring people up here. I guess with our tourism program, one of the main things is to keep it small enough, to keep it under control so that everybody in the community is happy with it, and so that it's creating jobs for people, but also so that there's not a lot of outsiders that cause them problems, whereas I think the neighboring island, St. Paul, has so many people that might be a little bit different situation. I think it'd be nice to be able to try to keep it real small here, if at all possible, and still create jobs for people.
How many jobs did it create last summer, or this summer, just passed?
Well, this summer we had a tour guide, which was Greg McGlashan, and then we had Susie McCulliff cooking at the hotel, and we had a gal that was helping take care of the cleaning over at the hotel. That's three of us, and then it also provided extra work for our office manager and myself in Anchorage. So,
is there just the one store in town?
Mm-hmm. There is, however, another store, which would be the canteen, which is owned and run by the community council on St. George. But the Tanakh store sells probably the majority of the food, and the canteen has, what would the canteen, what would you say, dry goods?
Kitchenware,
right. Yeah.
So a couple of people employed at each store then, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Four employed in the corporation store, according to Mr. Eliodore. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, anybody else want to say anything? I sure appreciate this. I'm glad we came here. It always helps to actually see the place that people are talking about, and it makes it more graphic for me than if we'd gone directly to St. Paul and some of you had come over there to talk about it. So, I guess all that remains is to adjourn the meeting and to say that we'll reconvene tonight in St. Paul. And thanks again.